number 83. 83, let's sing the song, I'm Going Higher. Game number 83 on the first. Often I've watched up the clouds in the sky. Always I've heard they were many miles high. Then as I sailed, they also sighed far away. I said, I'm going far higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever seek and or die. Love wants to meet in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. Men sail the ocean or soar through the air. Scarce can the natural eye see them up there. Come save for fame which so soon will decay. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever seek it or die. Love wants to meet in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. Moses went up in a mountain and prayed. Glory came down while alone there he stayed. But he came back, he just went there to pray. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever seek it or die. In the sweet by and by, I'm going higher someday. On the fourth, often my soul has been lifted above, lost in the ocean of God's mighty love. Though I am higher than once, till I say, I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever seek it or die. Love wants to meet in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. On the last, soon will the Savior appear, bless his name. Someday this earth will be all wrapped in flame. Then as I see the fire mounting so high, I'm going higher beyond the blue sky. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever sicken or die. Love wants to meet in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday.
Tayo manalangin, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the first service. And as we continue to conduct our second service, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us and guide us. And I pray that you would just bless the fellowship and also the soul winning this afternoon, Lord, and help our pastor as he preaches the second sermon to us. We're asking all these things. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. I got your bulletin. Let's go through a few announcements quickly. First off, were there any salvations to report? Let's count up any unreported salvations. Let's start in this section here. Any salvations to report? 3, 10, 15. Okay. 25. All right. I'm actually going to write this down. Normally, I don't write down, but all right. We already got big numbers coming. I don't know what's ahead. Anybody else? 1. All right. Anybody else in this section? How about in this section? Four? All right. How about over here? Or anybody missed in the back? All right. Well, great job, everybody. That's 48 salvations to add to the bulletin. So great work, everybody. As of this week, we don't have any schools scheduled right now to preach at. We're going to try to get some more schools. Obviously, it's a great opportunity. I think despite just the country itself being more open to these opportunities, I think one reason why God has blessed us, though, is because we're really taking all the opportunities that he's already given us. So even if we're not in the schools, let's just maintain being very zealous, whether it be door-to-door or in parks or any opportunity God gives. And if we're faithful with the things that he does give us, I believe God is going to give us more opportunities. But great work, everybody. We're having a great year so far, off to a great start. And I believe that is it for announcements. We'll have Brother Marlon lead us another song.
All right, our second song, let's turn our hymn to hymn number 118. 118, let's sing the song, Near to the Heart of God. On the first, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless
tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Bless the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you please bless us, Lord, today for our soul winning our fellowship later on. And I pray, Lord, that you also please bless our pastor for the preaching of your word, Lord, this day. We love you, Jesus, and pray. Amen.
All right, we're here in Acts chapter 2. The name of the sermon is Why I Support Female Preachers. Why I Support Female Preachers. Now, of course, when I say I support female preachers, I'm not referring to female pastoras, right? What I'm referring to is females and women preaching the gospel. And so I've got 3 points here today, and I'm not just trying to have a clever play on words. It's not just that it's okay for women to preach the gospel. I think it is sadly missing from a lot of churches that do some soul winning. I mean, I am thankful we have a church where women love preaching the gospel. Women in our church get a lot of people saved. And this is not something that we leave to the men, but it's for the men and the women, right? Point number one, why do I support female preachers? Well, because we can reach more people. There's more people preaching the gospel. I mean, it's a pretty basic and common sense reason. Notice what it says in Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, on the women, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, I'm sure that Pentecostal churches try to go here to try to justify women pastoras. That is not what this passage is about. Acts 2 is known to be the most famous chapter for just getting a lot of people saved, a lot of people going soul winning, and then they had 3,000 baptisms, and this would have never happened with only the men. They needed the women to be involved in this for that to actually take place. Go down to verse number 41. Verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the church had great growth in the early days, and the reason why is there was a lot of soul winning. But when you look at this story, was it only the men preaching the gospel? No, it wasn't. It was also the ladies. It was also the women as well. Both the men and the women are the reason that 3,000 get saved and baptized. It's the reason why the church has great growth. And if we want God to bless this church and continue to grow, we do not just need the men preaching the gospel, we need the ladies preaching the gospel as well. Go to your Bible to Mark 16. Mark 16. I mean, I was looking at the school preaching schedule from Friday. You know, Brother Franklin really organized it and had everybody list in their categories. And then you look at the list, it's like woman, man, woman, man, woman, man, woman, man. I mean, it's like a 50-50 split. I mean, I praise God that we have a church where men love preaching the gospel, but I also praise God we have a church where women love preaching the gospel, and there is no way we would be getting this many salvations with just the men. And I want us to understand this, because here's what I'm trying to make very clear, that the job of soul winning is for men and women, and women are not in retirement when they have their first child. I do not believe in that. I will never believe in that. I believe that men and women should strive to be soul winners until the day they die. And look, I want to be a soul winner till the day I die. I want my wife to be a soul winner till the day I die. And I praise the Lord that at our church, it's both the men and the women that are preaching the gospel. You know, when we did the school preaching this last week, obviously we had Pastor Menez's family with us. And with his family, since his wife was at home, it was, you know, four men. But amongst the rest of the people in the church, it's like on, you know, the big school preaching where we set a record for salvations, I preached at a classroom. My wife preached at a classroom. Brother Raji preached at a classroom. Sister Asel preached at a classroom. Brother Dante preached. Sister Elaine preached. Brother Red preached. Sister Joyce preached. You say, what are we seeing? We're seeing the husbands and the wives doing the work. And it's the same thing that we have here. You say, why? Because we need both the men and the women preaching the gospel to get a lot of people saved. And let us realize this. Women are just as effective as the men at preaching the gospel. The Spirit of God can be upon them just as much. They can be just as bold. They can be just as effective. They can get just as many people saved as the men can. I do not believe I'm a better soul winner than my wife. I believe that if my wife gives the gospel and they don't get saved, they wouldn't get saved if I gave them the gospel. You say, why? Because the Spirit of God comes just as much upon a woman as it comes upon a man to preach the gospel. And look, I don't know what other churches do or believe. Whatever they do is fine. But for me, when it comes to the school preaching, you say, do you have a problem with women preaching the gospel to a bunch of guys at the school? No, because they're preaching the gospel. They're not preaching a sermon about drinking alcohol. They're not preaching a sermon about whatever. They're preaching the gospel. And look, any setting that women get the opportunity to preach the gospel, praise God. If you are a woman in this room and you get the chance to preach the gospel at a funeral to 1,000 people, praise God. If you're a woman in this room and you get the chance to preach the gospel at a wedding, praise God. If you're a woman and you get a chance to preach in any setting the gospel, praise God. Now, obviously, we don't believe in women pastoras. And look, as a guy, I believe that I should be, you know, leading the prayer and other men lead the prayer and things such as that. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, that is for men and it is for women. Now, look, there are a lot of Baptist churches in this world that do soul winning, but it's only the men. And the women do not go soul winning. And there's kind of this mindset that basically once women get married, well, their job is to be a stay-at-home mom, so they're in retirement from soul winning. Now look, when it comes to soul winning, wouldn't we all agree that soul winning is the most exciting part of the Christian life? Right? You know, sometimes life is difficult. It's stressful. It's hard. You feel like giving up. But you know what keeps you going? Getting people saved, doesn't it? That excitement keeps you going, and you say, hey, it's worth it. Well, here's the thing. If I, as a guy, can get down and feel like giving up sometimes, you know the same is true with women as well? And if they are not allowed to be out there preaching the gospel, they are not going to get that spiritual energy from seeing somebody get saved that excites them. Look, we need both husbands and wives to be zealous preaching the gospel. I have visited a lot of Baptist churches in my life, And, you know, sometimes on vacation, you know, we're visiting, traveling, we visit a church, and then they have a soul-winning time, so I'm happy to go to the soul-winning time. But then sometimes it's kind of like, okay, there's like 20 guys, and there's like not a single woman that's preaching the gospel. And it's kind of like, okay, maybe I should just go with my wife, or maybe I guess I'll go, honey. And it's like, that's a shame. You say, why? Because you need both men and women to preach the gospel. Now look, you say, well, pastor, you don't understand because once you have kids, it gets very, very difficult. No, I do understand. We have our fourth child about to be born. I get it. It's hard. But anyone that's in this room knows that my wife is a weekly soul winner. My wife is zealous to preach the gospel. Now, often during the week, I'm able to do more soul winning. So often on the weekends, you know what? I do the babysitting. As my wife is preaching the gospel, she'll take our son Zeph or take our daughter Christabel, and I'll watch the kids as my wife is preaching the gospel. You say, why? Because I want my entire family to love and believe in soul winning. And I want to make it, as a husband, as easy as possible for my wife to be able to preach the gospel. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. And the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we often highlight in this verse where it says, go ye, that this is not just for one person, but ye is the plural of you in the Bible. Because in our modern day, the word you does not signify whether it's singular or plural. In the Bible, you have thee and thou, and then you have ye and you, which are plural. And so when it's saying, go ye, this is not for one person, this is plural. But something else I want to highlight is, it doesn't say, go he. It says, go ye. It doesn't say, go ye that are men, or go he. It says, go ye into all the world. And that means that promise is not just for the men, it is also for the women. It's not just a commandment that men need to do, it's a commandment for women. And look, our church has a culture of women preaching the gospel, and I don't want that to ever quit. One of the most exciting things to me is that often during soul winning, there's nobody at the building. Everybody's out. Praise God. And look, I would say that if you're a woman in this room and you have kids, let me tell you something. If you're a husband in this room, you should feel blessed you have a wife that is willing to put in a lot of energy to take care of the kids and is still doing the work of soul winning. Because that is not an easy thing, and it is not that common of a thing, but it is a necessary thing and a command of God. Turn your Bible to John 4. John 4. Now, I want you to just think about this logically. You know, if you're a soul winner in this room and you've spent time out preaching the gospel, have you ever noticed that sometimes you go up to talk to somebody? And here's the thing, this is not just for me here in the Philippines. This also happens in America as well, okay? Sometimes I'm going to try to preach the gospel to, you know, a young lady, maybe in her 20s or something like that, and I can tell that she's interested in listening, but she's a bit uncomfortable because a guy is going up to talk to her. Have you ever noticed that? And that same person, if my wife went up, they would probably listen and get saved. There are people in this world that they will not listen if a guy comes up to them. They're a bit shy, they're a bit hesitant, or maybe they're married, so they just don't want to be involved in anything like that. And even though you're coming with the Bible, they're just kind of apprehensive. They're scared about it. But then if a lady went up, they would listen and get saved. Right. Now, of course, the same is true in the other way. There are people that maybe they'd only listen to a man preach. But what I'm saying is, we are commanded to preach to everybody. And if there are people out there today that would get saved if a woman preached to them, we better make sure we have the women preaching the gospel. Right? We need the men and we need the women preaching the gospel. And look, I do believe that women at our church are just as effective, just as efficient, and just as zealous as preaching the gospel as men. And I want every lady to know in this room, it's not just that you're allowed to preach the gospel. No, we encourage it. It is a great thing that we have women at our church that are preaching the gospel. Because I am telling you, a lot of Baptist churches, it's only for the men. And the women are on the sidelines during soul winning time. It's like, well, you know, we're women. It's their job to raise kids and talk about cooking and cleaning and stuff like that. It's like, no, 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 they don't get to go soul winning. You know, as the men go soul winning, we'll just have them stay back and clean the church or something like that. No, I don't believe in that at all. I believe women ought to be out there preaching the gospel, and I praise God that we have a lot of women preaching the gospel at our church. Point number one reason we need women to preach the gospel, outside of the fact that God commands it, is simply, logically, we can reach more people. But number two, not just because we can reach more people, but when you look at the Bible, what you realize is often women can be more bold to preach the gospel than men. Notice what you see in John 4, verse 25. John 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now, why are they marveling? Why are they surprised? Because this woman, when you read the story, is not exactly the godliest or most clean living person that has ever existed. And, you know, kind of this attitude, well, why are you talking to a sinner? Well, obviously to preach the gospel and get him saved, okay? But notice what it says in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, look, I've known of a few situations of men preaching the gospel immediately. It's not a common thing for men or women. But I'm just saying the average person that has lived a sinful life and gets saved, they might be a bit shy to just go to the town where everybody knows them and proclaim the name of Jesus and not care about what people think. Right when she gets saved, she's like, hey, this is the Christ. And she's not worried about what people think. You know, what's also true is that sometimes as men, we get overly concerned with what people think. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I think one reason why maybe churches struggle with this, I mean, I guess I can think of a few reasons. Number one, because it's hard. That's why I want to encourage the ladies to keep doing the work, because I get it. It's hard when, you know, you're pregnant and, you know, you're about to give birth or you've just given birth or you have a lot of kids to watch. And look, I've said this from the beginning, and I believe this, that, you know what, as a guy, you need to learn to be able to take care of your kids if your wife is sick and she can't help you out. You need to be able to do things. I mean, you need to be able to, as I said the example yesterday, it just kind of came to the top of my head, but you need to be able to cook more than just, you know, I peeled a banana and handed it to my kid. You ought to be able to cook a meal. You ought to be able to change diapers, put on clothes. You ought to know where stuff is in the house. You ought to be able to take care of the basic necessities. Yeah, that's something normally your wife is going to be doing more than you, but the thing is, what if your wife's sick? What if your wife's not available? What if you already have one child and your wife's pregnant and it's harder when you're pregnant? As a guy, you should be able to help. And here's the thing about this, it's certainly true with soul winning as well, because, look, every family deals with this that goes soul winning. You go soul winning, you've got everything figured out, then you're out there, and then your child asks you, can I have some water? And then you go to your book bag or backpack to pull it out, and it's not there. It's like, oh, we forgot to pack the water, right? Or for example, you know, one of the babies, all of a sudden they need a diaper change, and then all of a sudden you go to get your diaper. Where is it? Everybody deals with this. You forget to bring snacks. You forget to do whatever. It's like, as parents, as organized as you try to be, sometimes you forget something. I mean, look, you don't have to raise your hands, but I'm sure every family would say, yeah, you know what, we've dealt with it. It's not just you. It's every family. There are times that we go out. I mean, there are times that we go out soul winning, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes in, we realize we got to go back to the building because we forgot something. Because it's harder when you have your entire family, when you have a bunch of kids. Right? I mean, it's just difficult. We realize that. And so look, as husbands, let us try to make it as easy as possible for our wives. Let's try to help them. And let's just make sure that we do everything. We make sure we grab the water, do whatever. You say, why? Because you want your wife to be a soul winner. You do not want your wife to be on the spectator list where she doesn't get to see what's going on. No, you want her involved in the work. right? Matthew 26, and you know, the other reason why I'd say that it is probably something that churches struggle with is just because of the fact, maybe because we preach so much about wives staying home and raising kids, that people can get this mindset that what we're saying is that no, that's all wives should be doing. Well, I don't believe that at all. That's not biblical at all. I mean, wives should be out preaching the gospel. And no, I don't think that it's like, no, wives can't leave the house or whatever. It's like, no, that obviously is a big part of the role, raising and taking care of the kids. I mean, being a keeper at home, we get that. That is not the only role or responsibility for wives, though. And don't get this mindset that that's her job. My job is to be the soul winner and her job is just stay home with the kids. No, the Bible teaches that it's the job of men and women to preach the gospel. Matthew 26, verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now look, this is a very mayabang, arrogant statement, but especially when you're in front of other people. Can you imagine? Imagine Jesus is preaching and he says that you're going to deny me, and I stood up and said, though all men are going to deny you, not me. That's a pretty rude and arrogant comment, isn't it? And then it says in verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So basically all the disciples are saying, hey, you know, brother so-and-so might deny you, but not me, right? All of them are making that statement. Well, let's fast forward to verse 69 in the chapter, Matthew 26, verse 69. Let's see if they were actually consistent with what they said. Matthew 26, verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Look, a damsel is approaching him. This is not a policeman. This is not the military. This is not a politician. And yet, Peter is so scared about being recognized with Jesus that he denies knowing Jesus, just like Jesus said would happen. Verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So basically, I believe it's showing he's taking it a step further. Before he says, I don't know the man, now it's kind of something like, I swear upon heaven. I swear upon my mother's grave or whatever, I do not know the man. He's basically taking it to another level to say, no, because the idea would be that, well, I would certainly not lie about that, right? So obviously I don't know the man. He's taking it to another level to basically distance himself from Jesus Christ. He's ashamed to be connected. Verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. And notice the reason given, for thy speech bereath thee. What they're saying is the way you talk is the same way that those talk that are with Jesus. It's like we can tell from the words coming out of your mouth that you are with Jesus. So notice the reaction in verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. So basically, Peter does a 180, and he intentionally starts talking just like the ordinary person or the foul-mouthed person or whatever. Why? Because he doesn't want his speech to basically show that he was with Jesus. And so basically he's saying, well, no, and then he starts saying whatever, right? Then it says in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. But what you're seeing is one of the boldest, most zealous men in the entire Bible then gets so embarrassed and so shy, and he's so worried what other people think about him. But go to Matthew 28, and you'll see a different reaction from some of the women. Matthew 28. Look, I'm not saying that men cannot be bold. I think our church is filled full of men that are bold, that love preaching the gospel. And of course, we get that. We understand that. And obviously, though, in the Bible, it focuses on men more than women, right? The Bible speaks about a lot of famous men. I mean, you look at the characters in the Bible, you know all of the, you know the apostles, James and John and Peter. You can name them, but it's like, well, wait a minute, a lot of them were married. You don't know their wives' names. That doesn't mean that their wives were never preaching the gospel. That doesn't mean that their wives were not reading the Bible. That just means the Bible is focusing on the men, but I believe their wives were also very zealous for the things of God. And notice what it says in Matthew 28, verse 1, "And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." And when you're reading the Gospels, there's an emphasis on the women not being ashamed, whereas the men are. The 12 apostles that are there with Jesus, that are devoted and love God and do all these great things, they preach these mighty sermons, they do all these soul-winning adventures and all of this, and then they're ashamed to be connected. And yet you see women that are not ashamed or embarrassed at all. Go to Acts 21. Acts 21. Now, when we go soul winning, you know, sometimes you go soul winning in areas where you get to kind of pick and choose who you want to talk to. Maybe there's like, you know, you're at a park at whatever, Pasig Rainforest or Kesa Memorial Circle or wherever, and there's a lot of people. So, of course, you're selective, right? Who am I going to talk to? I have some basic rules of who I would try to talk to. I would generally try to talk to people that are younger if I have the chance because they're more likely to get saved. Obviously, if they're really young kids, they're kind of too young oftentimes. You know, if people are older than 40 or 50, they're going to be less likely to get saved. We get that. And, you know, one of the rules I have, not just here in the Philippines, but in America, is like, I don't really like talking to white people because they're less receptive to the gospel. Just is what it is. It's like, if there's an American tourist here, it's like, that's the last person I'm going to go to talk to them. You say, why? Because they're just not as receptive. Right? Even in America, and, you know, I say this as a joke, but you can ask the other men, this is true. When you knock on doors, it's like a soul winner's nightmare when a white person opens the door. You are hoping that there's some other ethnicity because white people are like the last people that end up getting saved. Now, obviously, our room is filled full of a lot of men that are white, people that do love God. So, obviously, there's exceptions to everything. But I'm just saying, you know, there's basic rules. Who am I going to try to talk to or whatever? And I would say for me personally, I feel a bit shy and uncomfortable when there's like a guy and a girl that are boyfriend and girlfriend that are doing a lot of PDA. Right? For me, it's a bit awkward because I'm not really for PDA. And then when a boyfriend and girlfriend are doing that in public, it's like I would generally avoid them and just try to talk to other people, either two guys or two girls. I have no problem approaching girls with the gospel or guys. But when you have a boyfriend and girlfriend just like very closely connected, I feel a bit awkward. But, you know, I watch my wife and she's just bold. Like, it doesn't bother her at all. She'll like literally walk up to anybody. I mean, I'm confident I could look at her walking up to a drug dealer and just have no problem just starting a conversation. I'm just like, the guy has a gun. What are you doing? And I'm just saying that, you know, and this is true in our church. You know, we have a lot of ladies that are zealous to preach the gospel. And praise God for that. Because when it comes to our numbers, I mean, we don't make a distinction of salvations by men and salvations by women. But I would assume it's about a 50-50 split at our church. I mean, our church is filled full of women that love to preach the gospel and love the things of God. Do not lose that zeal later on in life if you start having kids or you get married. It's like, no, keep that zeal until the day you die. And if you are a man in this room and you're married or you're one day going to be married, encourage your wife. Help your wife to keep doing the work because it does get hard after kids are born. It is very easy to just say, well, you know, I'm kind of past that point. But no, you want to keep that with you your entire life. Go in your Bible to Acts 21. Acts 21. Acts chapter 21. Look, I love being a pastor. I love preaching sermons. I love studying and preparing sermons. You know, obviously, part of the work of the ministry is administration, so that might not necessarily be fun. But, you know, I love the work of the ministry. I'm very thankful that God has given me this opportunity. But here's the truth. If I had to retire from soul winning to become a pastor and preach sermons, I wouldn't have become a pastor. You say, why? Because the love of soul winning is what motivated me to change my life to begin with. The love of soul winning is really the reason why I had a desire to move to the Philippines, because it's so receptive. I mean, if I had to retire from soul winning, it's like, hey, somebody else can get up and preach the sermons. You say, why? Because I love soul winning. Well, here's the thing. That's not just true for men. It's also true for women as well. It's like, you know, no, we're not going to force women or discourage them from soul winning. Say, no, you got to make sure to watch the kids. Just the men will go out. No, we need the women still doing it. And we don't want them to get discouraged in the Christian life. And one great thing that keeps you encouraged is seeing people get saved. I mean, isn't it true that sometimes you go out soul winning and maybe you're a bit backslidden or a bit down and you don't feel like going, but then you see somebody get saved, and then you think to yourself, how foolish am I? What is wrong with me? Why don't I just dedicate my whole life to God? I mean, everything else in life is vain and pointless. All that matters is trying to get people saved, right? Here's the thing. As a guy, that is what really kind of gets me going through down times that I'm having. But, you know, the same thing is true for women as well. All of us go through down times. All of us need that spiritual encouragement to just keep going. Point number one reason why I support women preaching the gospel is because we can reach more people with the gospel. Point number two, because often women can be more bold. But point number three, and as a father, this is a big one for me, is to impact our children. I want my wife to preach the gospel because I want to have a big impact on our kids. Now, when we read stories in the Bible, obviously the Bible's already big. And some stories, it doesn't go into great detail, but you got to use some common sense and some logic and think through the passage. And I want you to do that here in Acts chapter 21. Notice verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, the Bible mentions this man, Philip the evangelist. And the guy is obviously married because he has four daughters. And he has four daughters that are soul winners. Four daughters that are prophesying. Now, it's obviously not referring to them preaching sermons. It's not referring to them being pastoras. It's referring to them preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, the daughters are also going to prophesy, it said in Acts 2. And here's a man, Philip the evangelist. Evangelist comes from the word gospel, evangelio, meaning preaching the gospel. It's about the gospel. So Philip is an evangelist because he's greatly spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's spreading the good news. This is a man who has four daughters that are zealously soul winners also. Let me ask you a question. How do you think that you can raise four daughters that love soul winning? Because let me help you out. In case you're in this room and maybe you're not married, you don't have kids, or maybe you haven't thought about it, I would say everyone that is a parent knows this to be true if their kids are at least a few years old. Let me tell you what my son Zeph wants to be when he grows up. Besides every boy wanting to be an astronaut, my son Zeph wants to be like me. Every young boy wants to be like their father. Is that not true? Now, of course, as they get older, maybe they have a different personality. It doesn't mean they'll have the same career, and we get that. But every young boy wants to be just like their dad. And, of course, as a father, it's something that really makes you really kind of check yourself how you're living your life, because your boys will really look at what you're doing because they want to be like you. And it's like, I better make sure I'm reading my Bible so they see me reading my Bible. Because actions speak louder than words. I better make sure I'm soul winning. I better make sure I'm not a hypocrite. I better make sure I'm living a clean life. Why? Because I want my son to grow up and be like that also. Guess what every girl wants to be like when she grows up? She wants to be just like her mom. Right? My daughter, Christabel, doesn't want to be like me. She wants to be like my wife. Why do you think that Philip had four daughters that are preaching the gospel? Because his wife was a soul winner. Doesn't that just make common sense? And what ends up taking place? We have four daughters that grow up and they say, I want to be just like mom. You know what that actually looks like? It looks like Philip basically staying with two of the daughters while two of the young daughters are going with their mom at a young age and learning how to go soul winning and listening to their mom. I mean, it's a matter of them just, I mean, my daughter Christabel loves to go with my wife soul winning. She goes there and she'll listen to the conversation and she's there with her mom. Why? Because she wants to do what mom is doing, right? Four daughters which grow up and they prophesy. How does this happen? Because Philip's wife was a soul winner. I believe common sense would tell us this. Now, here's the thing about this. You say, what do you want your daughter to be when she grows up? A soul winner. I want my daughter to be a soul winner. I want my daughter to be a preacher of the gospel. I want her to care so much about soul winning that she would never consider marrying a guy unless he's a soul winner. That's what I want for my daughter. And it's not just an impact on the daughters. You need to impact the sons as well, because they need to realize, hey, if I'm looking for someone to marry, I better make sure I find a young lady that's a soul winner. And so if you want to have an impact on your family, you need husbands and wives, fathers and mothers doing the work of God. Go in your Bible to Titus 2. Titus 2. And let me also say this, that as guys, one mistake, it's not just that we can focus so much on gender roles in marriage, and it's not just that women get this idea, all my job is to stay home and watch the kids, but you could also go the other way as well, where men feel like their only job is to provide money for their families, and that's not true either. And I would say this, that, you know, I had great parents growing up. I had a great father and a great mother. And, you know, I remember my dad, you know, several years ago just talking about how one of the things he was very sad about was that when I took my first steps, he wasn't there because he was working. And I'm not saying he's working a full-time job. He spent a lot of time with us. But the reality is my dad was not around us as much as my mom that homeschooled me. So it's like you take your first steps. It's like the dad's not there. It's like the first time they roll over, the dad's not there. A lot of firsts that the dads miss out on because of the fact they're working. Here's the thing. I think it would do good for us husbands to just get to spend some extra time with our kids as their wives are preaching the gospel. And I can say this. My favorite, I love preaching the gospel, but I'm being honest. My favorite time of soul winning is when I am babysitting the kids and my wife's preaching the gospel. I get to spend more time with my kids. My wife gets to go out there. I think it's great. And you know what? We need husbands and wives preaching the gospel. You know, Philippines is a really amazing place where it's so receptive and there's so many opportunities. The other day when we were at the schools in Pampanga, my wife, you know, she went out and she was preaching to schools. And so we had just enough people to fill all the classrooms. And so I was basically watching the kids, right? They're playing the dirt and having fun and everything. But, you know, in the Philippines, there's a lot of great opportunities. And then a bunch of teenagers after 15 minutes sat down, and then I started preaching the gospel to them. So I'm kind of like looking back and forth, making sure that they're not throwing dirt or whatever and everything's okay. But it was just an exciting time. My wife's out there preaching the gospel, and my kids are having a good time and everything like that. And it's like, you know, this is really the way that God intends it. Husbands and wives. Maybe during soul winning time, husbands take the first conversation, wives the second, or vice versa. Right? Whatever you need to do. Maybe just say, hey, I'll stay home and watch the kids so you can go out with some of the other ladies for an hour to preach the gospel. Whatever needs to happen. But look, as a husband, you want your wives also out there doing the work of God. Why? To impact your children. Impact your daughters. Impact your sons. Bible says in Titus 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, the Bible speaks here about the aged women in verse 3, and I do not believe the aged women is merely associated with their age, but it's more about their experience. Because the concept here is about in raising kids. And so the idea is this, that if you're a mom that has raised several kids, you have experience in that area. And the Bible's referring to young women loving their husbands, loving their children. Why? Because there's a lot of changes when you first get married and have kids. It's difficult. It's hard. And if you're a woman in this room and you have the experience of going soul winning and you're raising kids that love God and everything, it's like, you know, you can be an encouragement to the younger women that are kind of struggling, that might have questions, and just try to encourage them, saying, hey, you can do it, it's okay, and try to help them out or whatever. Now, look, I don't believe, because the context here is about loving your husbands and loving your children, this is not about having a YouTube channel to teach the rapture. It's like, I don't, you know, you can think whatever you want. I would never allow my wife to have an online teaching ministry. It's like teaching the Bible. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You say, why? Because there's enough work at our own home, and I want to focus on our own kids. Quite honestly, I care about my own kids more than anybody else's kids. And there's more than enough work to do with, you know, three kids and a fourth on the way to have a big impact, where no, I don't believe in women having these online teaching ministries. You say, well, I thought you were for women preachers. Yeah, but I'm not for women pastors or anything like it. And you can think what you want, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, we're talking about whole families serving God and what that looks like. And what that means is husbands and wives really ought to care about their own kids and having an impact on them. Go to Joshua 24. We'll close up. Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. Look, I truly believe that this church is one of the greatest churches in the world. But this would not be one of the greatest churches in the world if the ladies did not go soul winning. This is one of the greatest, I mean, we get a lot of people saved. People are incredibly zealous to volunteer so much time to preach the gospel. And yes, you know, we have a lot of men that love God and are putting in lots of time. There are also a lot of ladies in this church that are putting in a lot of time to preach the gospel. They want to serve God. They want to do what's right. I believe this is one of the greatest churches in the world, but it would not be one of the greatest churches in the world if the women were not soul winners at our church. This sermon is not being preached to try to motivate because women are not preaching the gospel. This sermon is preached to just try to encourage to keep doing the work. Because the women at our church are soul winners. The women at our church love God. And the Bible says this in Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now Joshua says, as for me and my house. Now, I remember when I was a newer soul winner, you know, you go door to door preaching the gospel in the U.S., and probably the most common Bible verse that you see is Joshua 24, verse 15. And as a newer soul winner, I would get excited saying, maybe this person's saved, maybe they love God. And then I came to realize people just kind of put up this verse. It does not mean anything about whether they're spiritual. It's kind of like a cool thing to say. It's like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Someone opens a door with a red horse and like a million tattoos. It's like, what do you want? It's like, whoa. It's like, but this Bible verse, right? And I think oftentimes this is like a cool verse, and it's an awesome verse. But stop and think about what it means. What does it mean for an entire house to serve God? It means husbands and wives are reading the Bible. Right? It means husbands and wives are going to church. It means husbands and wives are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And that is the attitude Joshua had. You say, well, you know, Joshua's a great character, but who knows about his wife? I have confidence from this verse that Joshua's wife was a soul winner and loved God. And look, you know what? The Bible says, go ye into all the world. It is not just for men. It is also for ladies as well. And as a husband, do everything in your power to try to make it as easy as possible to encourage your wife. Do whatever you need to do to help make it easy. Because yes, you know what? I cannot fully relate as a guy, but even as a guy, when you have a new child born or your wife's about to give birth, it's difficult. It's harder. Right? One of the things I love here, because, you know, going door-to-door soul winning here is more difficult in a lot of locations than in the U.S. because there's a lot of dogs, it's dirty, there's motorcycles. I mean, there's a lot of obstacles. Whereas, you know, a lot of places in the U.S., the roads are, the sidewalks are very wide, they're clean, there's a lot of advantages and things like that. That's one reason why we really started to utilize the parks more, because we wanted to make it as easy as possible for the moms and ladies to go soul winning. And I can say this as the pastor of this church, I look out and I see a room full of people, not just men, but ladies that love preaching the gospel. And look, I fully support women preaching the gospel. It's not just something that's okay. No, it's something that's a command of God. And I believe the ladies at our church are just as effective, just as efficient, just as spirit-filled as any of us men are. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and ask you to help us to apply this to our lives, God. Thank you for the wonderful church you've given us of people that love God, both of men and women. And I ask you to help encourage the families here and the ladies at this church to be zealous with soul winning and help them maintain that zeal and be soul winners until the day they die, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.